Bibles open, follow along, because there are some things here that I don't want you to miss. Plenty left over. There will be plenty left over. By the way, the context that we just read from dates to about 726 B.C. Now, that doesn't mean a whole lot, except if you remember that 4 years later, the northern 10 tribes who had broken off, they were going to go into captivity. The Assyrians were going to come in and just decimate them and take them captive. And that was not going to happen until another 100 years or so to Judah. And Hezekiah is the king of Judah, so there was some revival. But the northern tribes just had 4 years left. They didn't know that at the time, but they're going to find it out. And by the way, they were part of those people that said in chapter 30, verse 10, they laughed them to scorn and mocked them when they came and said, "Hey, gather together with us to Judah. We're going to have a feast. We're going to reinstitute the Passover." And there's just a spirit of revival in the land. Hezekiah the king is called for a meeting, a worship, and they just say, "It's old-fashioned stuff. We don't have time to go to Jerusalem, and we have other gods that we're worshiping now." So 4 years later, God said, "Okay, you can worship your gods, and you're going to be scattered. The Assyrians are going to come down and take you captive." But that did not happen in Jerusalem for another 100 years after this. And God did bring a revival under the leadership of Hezekiah. Notice in chapter 31, back in our text today, Hezekiah, verse 2, appointed the courses of the priests and Levites after their courses. There were people designated by God to serve, to minister in the holy things in the temple. Every man according to his service, the priests and Levites, for burnt offerings and for peace offerings, to minister, to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. So when we are right with God as a person, as a church, God is going to bless us, and there are things that are going to be evident. One of them is that we're going to be praising God. Notice in verse 2 again, they gave thanks and they praised in the gates of the tents of the Lord. They were thankful and they were joyful. They praised God as they came together for worship. Back up to chapter 30, just turn back to chapter 30 again one more time. Verse 25, all the congregation of Judah with the priests and Levites and all the congregation that came out of Israel and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel and that dwelt in Judah rejoiced. So there was great joy in Jerusalem. For since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was none like in Jerusalem. There was joy. The joy of the Lord was in their hearts. You know, when you're right with the Lord and when his blessings are, there's just going to be joy. Joy in your heart, joy in your soul. I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And they had it. So they were just praising God. They were joyful in Jerusalem because of what God was doing. Notice in chapter 31, verse 1, now when all this was finished, all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah and brake the images in pieces and cut down the groves. Instead of cutting down the furniture in the house of God, they were cutting down the places of false worship, the places of images and groves where idol worship was conducted, and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin, in Ephraim, also in Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. So they were rejoicing because of revival in the land. They were praising God. There was joy throughout the land. How's it with your heart today? Are you joyful? Do you have the joy of the Lord? You know, it says in Nehemiah, I believe it is, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And it is our strength. We can go a long ways in the strength of the joy of the Lord. We can go through dark valleys and shadows, and we can go through difficult days and times of being laid up on our back sometimes because of illness. We can still have the joy of the Lord. If there's revival in our land, if there's revival in our hearts, if there's revival in our homes, revival in our churches, there was revival here. And the product, the fruit of it was joy. Joy in Jerusalem. Joy when people gather together for worship. ought to be a joyful time. I hope you came here today with a joyful spirit. Somebody said this morning, this is the highlight of my week. And I said, I agree, it's the highlight of my week too. I love it when we gather together, whether it's Sunday or Sunday night or Wednesday night or whatever, when God's people come together to sing praises, to praise His holy name, to worship Him, to hear the Word of God preached, to listen to the choir sing these great anthems and hymns of the faith. Well, how could you help but be joyful? You might have come here with a heavy heart, burdened down with the cares of the world and of life, but that those cares seem to dissipate. At least they're put into perspective when you have the joy of worship in your heart. So they had joy. They were praising God. Secondly, notice verse 4. Not only were they praising God, they were trusting God. Verse 4 says, He commanded Hezekiah, the people that dwell in Jerusalem, to give the portion of the priests and Levites that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. Notice two words, a couple words there. I want to just have you underline in your mind, if not in your Bible. To give. He commanded the people that were in Jerusalem, especially. This is where the temple was. This is where God's people were centered for worship. And He commanded them to give. That's number one. So they had to trust God. They were not wealthy people. They had suffered. This was not, they were not on a high wave, their nation. They had been beaten down by other foreign countries. Notice back in, well, we don't have time to go back, but chapter 28, they were under Ahaz's leadership. Assyria came down and whipped them, beat them. And that was just a continual thing. So they were not wealthy people. They had been battered and beaten and bruised as a nation and as people. So, but God says, I want you to give. Give the portion of the priest. Give what God has commanded you to bring to the temple area here, and do right. Priests have been set aside, ordained of God to minister on your behalf before God and the Levites. And so as you give, notice secondly, you will encourage, verse 4, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. So your giving will encourage other people. You know, we've had the same command. We've been commanded to give. And some of us might say, boy, I don't have any money to give. I'm just broke by the end of the week or by the end of the day or by the end of the month. I just can't. I know I should. I know I want to. I really do. But I just don't. I'm not able. Well, God knows your heart. And He knows that what you would do if you could do. In His sight, you've already done. But I want to just challenge you. You may be like the widow that Elijah was sent to. God, Elijah in 1 Kings 17 had pronounced a great message to the king that there would be no rain. And God sent him to the brook where ravens took care of him for some days. They brought him food to eat, and he had water from the brook. Then the brook dried up, and God said, now I want you to go down to Zarephath. There's a widow there, and she will take care of you. And so the prophet went down there. And said, he saw her and he said, bring me a drink and a slice of bread. And she said, I don't have anything. I've got a little oil and a cruse. And I'm going to make a cake for my son and myself, and we're going to eat it and die. We're famished. Elisha said, bring me a drink and a piece of bread, and then go do that. And so she did. She acknowledged every night he was a prophet of God. And so she said, okay. And so she brought him a drink and a piece of bread. And then she made for her son and herself a little piece of something to eat. And she did it the next day and the next morning and the next day and the next day. And she did it for who knows how many days. And the cruse never dried up of oil. She said, I've only got enough for one meal here at the most. And then we're going to eat it and die. It's that critical. And you know, when you do right, God will just supply your need. He will just supply it. He's got ways of doing it unknown to you. He's a great God. He didn't say He's going to supply all of your wants. But he took care of that little widow and her son, and he took care of the prophet Elijah just by his power. He did it. They couldn't see a way to do it. There was no physical way. There was no material way. We're out. It's plumb dry. There was another, just in the next book, 2 Kings chapter 4, Elisha was the prophet this time. And there was a widow that came to him and said, "Oh, Elisha," he said, she said, I have just two sons. I'm a widow. It's just two sons left, and we have a tremendous, huge, huge debt, and our creditors are going to come and take my sons away and make them bond servants so that they can get from them what I owe, and I can't pay it. My bank account's zilch. Could you help?" And Elisha said, "What do you got in the house here?" "Oh, I've just got a little bit of oil and apparel. That's all I've got. That won't do anything. That's not enough to get us through another week." He said, "I want you to go out and fetch all the empty barrels you can find. Oh, your neighbors borrow barrels. Borrow empty barrels." And they did. They got, I don't know how many barrels, but they filled the house up with empty barrels. And the house was full, and she took that little, what little bit of oil she had in that one barrel and began to pour it into the empty barrels, and she filled barrel after barrel after barrel after barrel with that little bit of oil out of that one barrel. Until finally she looked around, there was no more empty barrels, and she said, "Is there not another vessel? I'm on a roll here. This is working out really good. Give me another vessel to fill." And her son said, "No, there's nothing else. We've looked high and low. There's no other empty vessels, barrels to fill." And God, and so Elisha the prophet said, "Go and pay your debts and take care of your bills with what's left." I'm paraphrasing that, but that's what he said in 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 1 and following. We have a great God, don't we?
Amen.
He's able to do that. And there was plenty left. She paid her bills, and there was a lot of oil left, a lot of barrels left full. I don't know how he works it out in your life, but I know this. He's got a way of filling your empty barrel.
Amen.
He does. "My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." That's a categorical statement. That's unqualified. It's absolute. "But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by..." You say, "Wait a minute, I've got a need that's not been supplied." What is it? "I got a bill that's unpaid. I got a house payment due. I got a car payment. I don't know where I'm going to get the money. I lost my job last month, and I have no income, and I don't know what I'm going to do." Well, I don't know what you're going to do either, but I know that God's going to supply your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And when you get to the end of your rope and there's no visible means of supply or sustenance, he's still supplying your needs. Because his grace is going to be sufficient for every single moment of every single day you live. His grace is sufficient. And that will never be exhausted. So he doesn't give you a car, or he doesn't give you a material thing, or he doesn't give you a job, but he gives you grace for today's. He gets you through today, and then you can trust him for your needs for tomorrow. You've got to take him at his word. By the way, when Jesus fed 5,000 people, 5,000 men, probably 20,000 people with children, women, children, when he fed 5,000 men with five loaves and two fishes, you remember how many baskets they took of that which was remaining? Anybody? 12. There was plenty left, amen? Plenty. He could have fed 20,000 more. When he fed on another occasion 4,000 men plus women and children with a few small fishes, Mark said in his gospel. Remember how many baskets were taken up, leftovers? Seven. By the way, we think of those little baskets you sit on the table with bread in. These were huge baskets. These were big baskets, I'm told, back in that day, like a barrel basket. And he took up seven. And by the way, Jesus, and I think it's in Mark chapter 15, reminded the apostles. He said, "When I fed 5,000, how much was left over?" And when I fed 10,000, or when I fed 4,000, how much was left over? And they answered him. It's in Mark chapter 8, I think it is. When I break five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said, 12. And then Jesus said, and when seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. So by his own words, we understand that was not just the same miracle. Have two different miracles, two different occasions. And Jesus said, how is it that you do not understand? Did you miss the point? I can supply your need. Amen. There's nothing too hard for me. And by the way, and there's always going to be plenty left with God. He's not stingy. He's not chintzy. He's a God of great abundance and great supply. So secondly, let's go back to our text. Not only did they praise God, but they were commanded to give and to encourage by their giving. Ron White said here, when he was preaching in this pulpit a few years ago, he said, if you give what you have to the Lord, it will always be enough. Amen? You give what you have. He also said, you can't give yourself to the master without giving yourself to the ministry. And I think you could turn that around and say, you can't give yourself to God's ministry unless you first give yourself to the master. It works both ways. So what a message on giving. I think that was in 2010 that I was sitting where you're saying, listen, Ron White preached. I said, that's worth saving. When you give what you have to God, maybe little, but little as much if God is in it, it'll be enough. It will be enough. It'll meet the need. So number one, praise God. Number two, trust God. Number three, notice in verse 5 in our text today, verse 5 of 2 Chronicles 31, and as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of the corn, wine, oil, honey, and of all the increase and the tithe of all things that they brought, all things they brought in abundantly. The third thing I notice is that they obeyed God as soon as the commandment came. As soon as it came. They didn't wait and say, well, I got to wait and see. I got to make sure it's going to work out. No, they as soon as, did you see those words? As soon as, I'm going to just camp on that because we can't miss it. With God, obedience should be immediate. If God tells us to do something, we ought to do it immediately. As soon as. And we do it without withholding. They brought in abundance. They didn't figure out how little they could give and still qualify for being givers. They said, how much can we give? And they took the high figure, and they said, and so it was just in abundance they brought. As I said, they're not wealthy people. Common folk like you and me, but they said, "Hey, this is God's work, and we're going to just give what we can. We're going to give it cheerfully, liberally, and in abundance." By the way, if you're here today and new to my preaching, I want to just tell you, I'm not preaching because our offerings are down; they're good. I'm not preaching because we have a big project going we need to fund. We don't. All of our bills are paid. There's always something else we could do, we're doing, but that's not the purpose of this message. I'm not trying to pull money out of anybody. I'm just saying this is what God's word teaches about how people gave in this day, on this occasion, and how he blessed because of that. And he will bless us too. If we give immediately when we recognize he's commanded us to give. By the way, it says he commanded, the commandment came. It was God's word. That's what was being taught back in verse 22. Hezekiah spake comfortably to all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. They were not teaching their own theories. They were teaching, this is what God's word says. And he says, give. So, we just obey God. Obey God. Don't try to figure. Don't superimpose your human logic and understanding over God's word. It's a step of faith for some of you to say, I'm going to begin to tithe. I don't know how I can. I don't see my way clear to do it, but I know God says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. That was Old Testament. And he doesn't say that in the New Testament, but he says, on the first day of the week, let every one of us lay by in store. And the Greek word for store is the same as the Hebrew word for storehouse. So it's the same idea. God has a time and a place. Back then it was the Sabbath. Today, this dispensation, it's the first day of the week when we gather for worship, as we're doing today, the first day of the week to commemorate his resurrection. Let every one of you individually lay by him in store, systematically, proportionally, as God hath prospered you proportionally. So that's God's method today. But so when you realize that, you might not have ever been taught before, but when you realize this is what God wants me to, then you do it. And leave the results to God. See if he doesn't keep his part of the bargain. He will. He will. And he says, I'll open the windows of heaven up and pour out a blessing upon you. You can't even imagine, God said. We are, by the way, a charitable people. I read that in 2016, Americans gave $300 billion to charity. And in 2017, it was $400 billion. More than we spent on electronic equipment, including cell phones, iPods, DVDs, all lumped together. Three times as much to charity as America gave in 2017 as was spent on gambling, and 10 times as much as spent on professional sports. And boy, there's a lot spent on professional sports. Was it mind-boggling to you, or did you hear what I heard, that the coach of Alabama just signed a contract for $77 million over 10 years? That's $10 million a year, I think it worked out to be, almost, to coach a football team, a college football team. We're not hurting in America, by the way. We are living in a land of abundance. We do have plenty left. When we consider what people spend on that which is not necessary, you and me and all of us, when we consider what we spend on that which is not necessary, we understand we have a lot left over. Amen? We have a lot left over. You do. All of you do. So don't squirm and squeal and say, I can't give anymore. I'm maxed out. No, you can. All of us can. I can. We can give more because God has given to us so much. If we can spend give a coach $10 million a year to college, to coach a college, we can give to God whatever we're supposed to give. God help Alabama and Indiana and Ohio and Iowa and on and on and on. God help us. But we are a charitable people. And I thank God we live in a charitable nation. When the hurricane came, Katrina, a couple years ago, $6 billion were sent that way by fellow Americans to respond to that disaster. Well, let's go back. Number one, praise God. Number two, trust God. Number three, obey God. Number four, serve God. Let's look at verse 21, please. Verse 21, and in every work, this is just a personal testimony, not a personal, but a statement that God makes about Hezekiah. In every work that he began in the service of the house of God. Could I stop just there? He was serving God. He was serving God in the service of the house of God. He was serving God according to the word of God. Notice the next phrase, and in the law and in the commandments. So his service was based upon the word of God. He studied the scriptures. He revived the reading of the word and the teaching of it. He reinstituted the Passover because that was part of the Old Testament law. He did what he knew to be right to do. He did it. In every work that he began in the service of the house of the Lord, the house of God. You know, that there's an application for me and you there today. Because it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. If I tarry long, Paul writes to Timothy, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. We're not in a temple today. We're not under the Old Testament law today. We don't bring bulls and sheep and goats, but we are in the house of God today, the family of God, which is the local church, he went on to say. The church, the pillar and ground of truth, the house of God, the family of God. It's so important to be connected to his people. Part of the house of God. And it not just to have your name on a roll, but to be serving in the house of God. He was serving all the service of the house of God, whatever God had told him to do. So it was through the house of God, according to the word of God, that he served. And God said, in all this, to seek his God. So he served God. The people obeyed God. They trusted God. They praised God. And then the last thing on my message today is that last phrase in verse 21. To seek his God. He did it with all of his heart. And prospered. He did it with all of his heart. He just didn't serve God lackadaisically. Blasé. Well, if it's convenient, I will. But if it's not, I won't. No, he served God wholeheartedly. That's why they had revival. That's why God blessed. That's why the Levites and priests said, the people have brought abundantly. We have more than we need. We have plenty left, in fact. Because the Lord hath blessed his people. Verse 10. And that which is left is this great store, because the Lord has blessed his people. If you do right in the matter of giving, God will bless you. Bless our church. Bless our nation. He has blessed our nation, as I've already recited. He's blessed us in so many ways. But he said, notice verse 21 again, to seek God. To seek God. He did it with all of his heart and prospered. Are you seeking God today? Or is he seeking you? Well, he seeks you. But he also wants you to reciprocate and seek him. Seek him with your heart. Seek him with your life. Seek him with your soul and all of your might, just to seek God. Seek him in the morning. Seek him at noonday. Seek him in the heat of the day. Seek him in the cool of the evening. Seek him with your whole heart. Seek him on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and every day of the week. Seek the Lord. Because of who he is, because of what he's done for you, seek the Lord with all your heart, not haphazardly. When you teach a class, study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. When you mow a yard, mow the yard to the best of your ability. When you paint a board, paint the board to the glory of God. All ground is sacred ground, and every bush is a burning bush with God. Whatever task you do, you stand at a machine and stamp out a part 8-10 hours a day, you can do that to the glory of God. Do the best you can. Do it for his glory. Do it because he's given you the job to do. And then honor him with whatever he's allowed you to make. Years ago, it was the custom for people to bring their gifts to the front of the church building. Many came to present their offerings of love, and there was a little girl, crippled, who hobbled along the end of the line as the people came up and left their gifts. She pulled a ring from her finger and placed it on the table and made her way back to the aisle. And after the service, an usher was sent to call the little girl to the preacher's study. And the preacher said, "My dear, I saw what you did. It was beautiful. But the response of the people today is so generous. Here, you take your ring back. We really don't need it, little girl. Sweet little thing. You keep your treasured ring. We've decided to give it back because the people gave so much today." She said to the preacher, "You don't understand. I didn't give the ring to you. I gave it to God." Amen. I gave it to God. When you do that, he blesses. He blesses. I hope that's your spirit and attitude today. God's given us so, so very much. So praise him, trust him, obey him, serve him, and seek him. That's the formula. Father, thank you for your word. It's always precious.